Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
If you're not just, the Bible says the way you judge people is the way you're judged. If you're not just and fair, if you say somebody believes something or does something when they don't, you think you're going to get away with that? You think it's going to be okay when you slander someone? The Bible says, well, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not bear false witness.
Loving Jesus is about loving people and treating people fairly. That includes people in and outside of our faith. Jesus desires all would come to know Him. Judging others and criticizing others only leads to division. But when we share the love of Christ, people who do not believe or believe differently will take a moment to seek out why we are different and why we are responding in love. With part two of our study out of Titus chapter 1, here's Robert Furrow.
There are certain things that disqualify people from certain kinds of ministry. And if you can't understand that when it comes to the safety of children, probably going to have a problem, because we want to make the environment as safe as possible. And so simply, there are some of you here that would be disqualified from these things because of the things in the past. Having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. Understanding that this bishop, this leader, is entrusted with God's people. When we look for elders, we're looking for men that are already involved. We're looking for men that have a heart for God's people. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that as a pastor, there are people that are in your church that you must give an account to. And you put together a team of men that care for the spiritual needs of the body. The stewardship of the body of Christ. Certainly the finances of the church are important, but the souls within the church are far more important. The stewardship of God. He is not to be self-willed, an individual that just thinks about himself, or a stubborn individual. There are those that in every other aspect, they may be businessmen. One of the mistakes that churches make is you have a successful businessman that begins to go to your church. He walks with the Lord for a while. Then you think, let's put him on the board. Let's make him an elder. And this guy's self-willed. He's self-willed because he's the boss. He's self-willed because he's got a successful business. None of which is bad. But then he gets into the position in the church and he's running things like a business. Says things on the board like, well, you would never be successful in business and do this. And in 27 years of having board meetings in which we're determining where we're going to go, what we're going to do, what things are going to happen in the church, I have had to say probably a half a dozen times, we are not a business. Neither can we run the church like a business. We can't make business decisions to run the church. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be idiots and just go out and make horrible, awful mistakes. But we seek God on what the direction should be. Sometimes certain individuals can become self-willed and they'll make everything a battleground. They're not working together as far as what can happen and what can't happen. And not quick-tempered, by the way, can't fly off the handle fast. That's the last thing you want from a pastor, isn't it? Come up and say something and boom, all of a sudden a monster comes out. Same with elders. Not given to wine, or literally, not close to wine. Their culture, it's a little different than our culture, right? In their culture, they had water that wasn't always pure. They mixed wine with their water so that they could purify their water, which, by the way, would be a pretty good excuse if you were an alcoholic. I just need to purify the water, okay? That's all I'm doing. But where there were pure water sources and there were a lot of places where they did have good, clean water, they didn't have to drink wine. Wine also got people drunk in their day. Some people try to say they didn't get people drunk, that it was just a way to purify the water, but it did. The Bible actually talks about people getting drunk on wine. The Bible says, don't get drunk on wine. And again, if you say, well, you know what? I kind of like to drink. I like to have a glass of wine every night. Well, all right, fine. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. Not violent. Again, that's a good quality to have in an elder or pastor. Not violent. I went to church. The pastor beat me up. Not greedy for money, but hospitable. Okay, not greedy for money. We were talking this week about multi-level marketing and the church in our staff meeting. And I brought up a pastor, and I won't give you his name. I looked him up afterwards. I didn't remember his name in the meeting. I looked it up. There was a pastor who got involved in a multi-marketing level kind of a thing. And he actually called a meeting from his church. He actually made announcements to his church. And then afterwards had a meeting where people came from his church that they could buy in under him, and everything that they would sell would then put money into his pocket. That is a violation of pastoral ethics to take people and to try to make a financial, take people in a church that you've been entrusted with and try to make financial gain out of them. In fact, multi-level marketing and church do not mix. Neither does marketing in church, by the way. If you're running around in church with your cards for your business, stuffing them in everybody's pocket, trying to drum up business for yourself, cut it out. We come here so that we can walk with Christ. And God has given you the influence, not so you can try to make money, but he's given you influence for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the presenting of the gospel of Christ. Don't mix those things up. Don't use it for selfish gain. Use it for the message of the gospel. There's other ways in which people can get greedy for money, by the way, and churches do it, and TV, you know, ministries do it. Verse 8 says, be hospitable. Hospitable, just being open, inviting people in, getting to know people. An elder has to be hospitable. One of the easiest ways, if you're having trouble with hospitality, you know, one of the easiest ways to be hospitable is to stop worrying as to whether or not your house is perfect when people come over. If you have to have your house, if it's like a major ordeal for you to have people over, you're probably not going to do it because you have to clean the house before and after. You collapse for 5 days after you've had somebody over an event at your house. And when you walk into an environment like that, you're probably not all that comfortable. If you walk into a house that's kind of disheveled a little bit, hey, you don't mind putting your feet up a little bit. You don't mind relaxing and joining right in. The easier you can make it, the more hospitable you will be. Opening up, inviting people over, inviting people in. He must be hospitable. A lover of what is good. Sober-minded. Serious about the things of the gospel. Serious about God. Just. Boy, not unfair. The Bible says that one of the seven things that God hates is sowing discord among brethren. Sometimes attacks on individuals are just unfair. Sometimes attacks by association. This person is doing a conference with that person, therefore this person is the devil. And they're just not just. It's not fair. A few years ago at a Harvest Crusade, Chuck Smith opened up in prayer, or opened the service up, and then introduced Rick Warren. When he introduced Rick Warren, he turned around and hugged him. People went off the charts. People were like, I can't believe it. Chuck Smith embraced Rick Warren. Obviously he agrees with everything that he says. I can tell you, Pastor Chuck does not agree with everything Rick Warren says. But tell me what you wanted him to do. Did you want him to go, and now the devil? What did you want him to do? You say, well, why would someone like Greg Laurie at a Harvest Crusade have someone like Rick Warren there? Because he's trying to reach people for the kingdom of God. Billy Graham had the same attacks. In the middle of the 60s, Billy Graham finally opened up his crusades and worked with Catholic churches. Catholic priests were coming up on the stage and sitting on the stage. Much of the evangelical world freaked out. They started to boycott and picket his crusades. When Billy Graham was asked about it, and later, years later, he said, I just wanted Catholics to get saved. I wanted them to come to Christ. And so we opened up to work with the Catholic churches. Catholics that believe in Jesus are saved. You would have thought, again, that he would have said that, you know, you have to believe in the devil to be saved. When he made the statement that a Catholic who believes in Jesus and doesn't trust in religiosity but believes in Jesus can be saved. This is the same kind of an attack. Be just. If you're not just, the Bible says the way you judge people is the way you're judged. If you're not just and fair, if you say somebody believes something or does something when they don't, you think you're going to get away with that? You think it's going to be okay when you slander someone? The Bible says, well, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not bear false witness. It doesn't say thou shalt not lie. Not saying lying's good. I'm just saying that the Ten Commandment was not to bear false witness. Sometimes people just go on witch hunts. There's nothing more than witch hunts. And they're just not just. They're not fair. They're just trying to tear someone down. Judge someone like a Greg Laurie or a Chuck Smith based on what they say, on what they do. What did Jesus tell us to do? Jesus said, judge them by their associations. No. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. So you look at the fruit that their life produces. And if the fruit is good, then you know that it's good. Do I think that Chuck Smith is perfect or Greg Laurie is perfect or any other high-profile person? The more high-profile a person gets, what happens? They get a target on them, don't they? And people like shooting at them. Well, that person is well-known. Do I think that any of these guys are perfect? No, not at all. But do I think that they're being used by God in incredibly powerful ways? That they are 10-talent kind of people? Jesus talked about different talents being given to different people and being faithful with those talents. Are they 10-talent kind of people? Yeah. You got to be just. And so it makes that statement here. Just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as has been taught. Now, I love that. Holding fast the faithful word as it has been taught. We hold fast onto the word of God. This is what we protect. Whether you're on the island of Crete, whether you're in Tucson, Arizona, wherever you go, the word of God is what we must put in our hands and fight with. It is the sword. We should get to know it. The more you know, listen, it's funny that people think that the word of God is so shallow. It's so deep. The Bible says that you compare scripture to scripture. The Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of God. The more you know, you learn of it, the more insight you have into other passages. And so the more you grow and learn, 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 the more you grow and learn. You get my point, right? Hey, find a time. If I can just get practical. These elders were to hold fast and faithfully the word of God. Find time to read your Bible every day. Find time to sit down and read the scriptures daily. Whether it's over a cup of coffee in the morning or orange juice if you're not a coffee drinker. Or at night before you go to bed, go sit out on the porch in the back and read the Bible. Just read it. You don't have to read, you know, 5-6 chapters at a time. Just read it. Bring a pencil with you. Have some faith that God's going to speak to you as you begin to read it and begin to mark it up. A lot of people start to do that. A lot of Christians start to do that and they go, well, I don't understand it. I started reading Genesis, I got to Leviticus, and I'm done. Just bear through it. As you do, you'll get more and more. You'll see the setting more and more. You'll see what the scripture, they were written in certain places, to certain people, for certain reasons. You'll get that more and more as you read and study the scriptures. And as you hold fast to the word of God, when situations arise, you'll be able to take the word of God and use it like a sword. You'll be able to fight and to stand with the word of God and what the Bible says. It says that they may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince those who contradict. There was on the island of Crete those Jews who were teaching that they had to become Jewish in order to be saved. When I say those Jews, I mean Jewish leaders who were saying Jesus is good and we believe in Jesus, but you've got to become Jewish in order to get saved. These elders needed to be able to handle the word of God so that they could overcome those who would contradict. It says in verse 10, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision." Let's take that one at a time. "For there are many insubordinate," those people who are just downright, they just want to fight. They just want to pick a fight. They're just insubordinate. They just want to be contrary. I know none of you are that way, have that bent to be contrary just to be contrary. Or maybe some of us are. Or maybe we were in our past. Or have you ever known someone who is, that can drive you crazy? You're thinking while you're talking with them, "You don't even believe this, but you're fighting about it. You believe what I believe, but you're fighting about it." I had one of those not long ago, talking with someone about a certain preacher. And I said, "Yeah, I know you don't even believe it. I know you don't believe what you're saying." By the time we were done, he goes, "Yeah, I was just messing with you." He was just arguing to argue. Insubordinate. Those that just argue to argue are those that just want to get into a fight. Those who are idle talkers. Guys that just talk about nothing. That just talk, that nothing. They just go out and spread nothing. Idle talkers and deceivers. Those that go out just to flat out deceive. The only way that we can fight against these things is to hang on to the Word of God. Hold fast God's Word. Especially those of the circumcision. These are the guys that were walking around saying, "Jesus is the Messiah. He is okay. But you need to be circumcised in order to be saved." This was spreading throughout the whole known world. It has made its way to the island of Crete. And Paul says, you got to get good, strong elders who can defend the Word of God against these guys. Especially them, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not to, for the sake of dishonest gain. For dishonest gain, for the desire to make money. They're going in and subverting whole households. And he says their mouths must be stopped. It is important to defend the faith when there are things that are wrong that are being presented. It's an important part of what we do as a church. One of them, a prophet of their own, says, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons." Now that's a politically incorrect statement. He's saying to him now, listen, one of their own even says that these people that live on the island of Crete, that's the Cretans, okay, they live on the island of Crete, these guys are, what were the three things he said? Always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Then Paul says in verse 13, to make it worse, these statements are true. That's not politically correct. And be like somebody throwing out a statement against New Yorkers or something, you know, and saying they're always like that. But Paul's just telling the truth, Timothy. Listen, you got your work cut out for you. This is a difficult place to minister to, and these people can be difficult. And he says, therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith. The purpose is so that they can have a sound faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables, which, again, we come back to the whole circumcision issue. One of their issues in their day was this whole circumcision thing. Jesus is okay, but you got to be circumcised. In our day, we don't see that much. If you are a Jewish Christian, then there are those out there who are going to tell you the same thing. Those people are still out there today. They're going to tell you having them following Jesus as the Messiah is good, but you also need to keep the law, you need to keep the diet. They're going to tell you the same thing. Jesus says you're free. Galatians tells us that the law was a tutor to bring us to Christ, and once we've come to Christ, we no longer need the law. More likely, you're going to run into somebody who's going to tell you, you have to be baptized in order to be saved. This is called baptismal regeneration, and it is becoming more and more common in churches. Some churches here in Tucson, some bigger churches that teach baptismal regeneration. There are churches across the United States that are growing. They don't put it necessarily out front, but they teach clearly that you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. That is a work, and it is not true. Paul said, God sent me to preach the gospel, not to baptize. You need to be baptized because Jesus said to be baptized. So out of obedience to Jesus, you're baptized, but it's as a symbol of what salvation is, not as salvation itself. Or you're going to run into somebody who's going to say you got to go to church on Saturday in order to be saved. If you guys are going to church on Sunday, you've taken the mark of the beast. I don't know exactly how you've taken the mark of the beast if you go to church on Sunday, But that's what they say. So you've taken the mark of the beast and you got to go to church on Saturday in order to be saved. All of these are in the same camp. There are people who say you got to speak in tongues in order to be saved. There are people who say, I mean, there's just all kinds of things people want to add. Listen, when somebody says Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus baptism, Jesus plus going to church on Saturday, Jesus plus speaking in tongues, Jesus plus doing a dance, Jesus plus anything is wrong. When we receive Christ, when we invite him in, when we open up the door, when we repent and begin to live for him, there are changes that take place in our lives that are a result of that salvation, that produce fruit for real salvation. But they are not works. There is nothing that you can do, because if there was, you would boast about it. That's what Ephesians tells us. We are saved by faith through grace. It's by the grace of God, and it's through faith that we're saved. That's it. Not by any work that anyone would do. All right, where am I? Got to hurry up. Lazy gluttons. All right. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. After saying everybody is, you know, this beast kind of person here that lives on the island of Crete, he then says, to the pure, all things are pure. You're going to have people there that are pure. And I love this. To the pure, all things are pure. When a young person doesn't understand a dirty joke, sometimes they'll feel like, wow, I'm out of sync. I don't really understand it. I would that we'd all forget what dirty jokes are, that we'd all forget double innuendos, that we would all just, you know, to the pure, all things are pure. And so you say something and people go, oh, you said this, and they kind of laugh at you because you said it, and you just go, I didn't mean it that way. I just meant what I said. I meant what it was. And I think it's good. I think that's the kind of purity that we ought to have. To the pure, all things are pure. It says, to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, for even their minds and their consciences are defiled. So there's to some people, doesn't matter what you say. Whatever you say, it's dirty to them. There are those that are like that. And he says, that's the way this is. He says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. In other words, the person that's living like this who says, well, I want you to know I'm a Christian, but he's living like that, his works are denying that he really knows him. Why? Because we know him by their fruits, right? Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So he kind of ended the whole thing on elders by saying, these people are going to be disqualified from every good work because what is at stake is the defense of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we need those who are good men who know the word of God, who hang on to it, not people who can't be trusted or who are double-minded, who are not have a pure mind, but men of a pure mind, a pure heart, who hold on to the word of God, who have a good reputation to be able to defend the faith as long as Christ tarries. We want to be able to do that. And may God raise up many men in our fellowship that have that kind of a heart who will defend the faith. Stand with me, would you? Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you. Lord, we are blessed for the opportunity that we have to be able to come before you and study your word. Really powerful chapter. And Lord, we want our lives to be able to reflect you. And we want what you want for us. And if you want a position within the body of Christ for us, like being an elder, then we want it. And if you don't, we don't want it. We just want what you want. We pray that we would be able as a church to defend the faith. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed and encouraged here at Practical Christian Living Radio to live out God's Word and to love like Jesus as you do. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. For our local radio listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful and considerate of social distancing guidelines. We also have new service times. Our East Campus now meets Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times will remain the same, Wednesday, 6 p.m. at East Campus, 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have concerns about your health or you're in a high-risk category, please attend our online campus. You can watch at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. For a complete list of social distancing policies and updates on when other ministries within our church will reopen, please visit calvarytucson.com. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you would like to donate and help support this ministry, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? Please email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.